The greatest luxury adventures on earth. Abercrombie and Kent. Robot building supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
And let's talk some footy. Terry Wallace is with us. You can join us as well. 1-300-736-736. The open line, thanks to Werribee Kia. 1-300-736-736. Top dollar paid on all trade-ins at Werribee Kia, Australia's number one selling Kia dealer. 1-300-736-736. We're going to have a look at all the games across this footy festival weekend, next 4 days, starting with the doubleheader today in the second round of the Marsh Series. The last time we get a chance to have a look at the teams before round one. Welcome to you, Terry.
Hello, Dwayne.
Mind you, we've got a few things to give away as well. The AFL record season guide for 2020. This is like deja vu. This happened last week. AFL record season guide for 2020 to give away. The Footy Lovers Bible, available at newsagents and major bookstores. And thanks to Karsha, whatever the cleaning task, we have the solution. Great to have Karsha on board as well. Welcome to you, Terry.
Hello, Dwayne. How are you going?
Oh, yes, good.
It happened to me the other day. Went into the microphone, yeah, everything's good, and all of a sudden, no action. But we're back in town, and this will be our regular spot on a Friday for our listeners, where we'll go through each of the games. So we call it before the games. During the season, so in a couple of weeks' time, I'll actually rank each of the games.
Which
so
I've heard you do the last few years. Yeah,
from the most important to what I consider the least important. If you're a fan of that side, it's never the least important game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll do that from a pretty regular basis on a Friday afternoon. But today we just thought we might as well start the process and get rolling. Because to me, although the results in this week's games aren't necessarily that important, I still think it starts to give you a bit of a feel. Most of the sides have gone full dress rehearsal, which wasn't necessarily the case over the last couple of weeks. So I think we get a good line on just where everyone's at this weekend.
Gold Coast were great in their opening game against Geelong. So we're hoping that they do the same again today. They play the early game against the Adelaide Crows. And it's going to be interesting to see what the Adelaide Crows deliver today, because if they get beaten by the Gold Coast, I know it's only Marsh Series and,
sure,
you know, I'm looking at it with a larger magnifying glass than most, but if they do get beaten, the Adelaide Crows and the Gold Coast win it, you're going to be really excited about what the Gold Coast could deliver in 2020 in terms of jumping a couple of positions on the ladder and not winning the wooden spoon, and maybe not so excited about Adelaide's season in 2020 as well.
No doubt. A little bit to play out here, because I think most of us believe these two sides will be lowly, not, you know, not right up there around top eight material. I know Crow supporters might think differently. Crows have really owned the Suns in their games since they've been in the competition. They're one of the sides that have really given the Gold Coast Suns a fair belting. Gold Coast have got a few more out than what Adelaide have got. Adelaide have really only got Doty and Riley Knight. They're mainly their only two decent players out. They've got most of their blokes back in, like Tex Walker, obviously, back into the lineup. They're playing Darcy Fogarty. That'll be interesting with the Josh Jenkins departure to open up the door for Fogarty to be able to play that.
Although the door was kind of, Dom Pike just didn't seem like he wanted to play him last year.
I found it really strange, to be honest, because he had shown at the level that he was good enough to play it.
Played 10 games in 2018 and didn't get much of a look in at all. What, 4 games last year?
And they were playing him in the Sandville as a key defender. I think he got 7 or 8 goals kicked on him in one game. I mean, we just go, what's going on?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a bit strange, but he's back in the lineup, and I think he's a good talent. I was like you. I did Adelaide live. I know you did Gold Coast live. I was super impressed with them. I thought that Greenwood and Ellis added quite a bit to them. Our first look at, obviously the youngsters have come into the lineup and, they look really, really good. So that will be interesting to sort of see how that progresses itself again. I thought, I know he came top three in the best of fairest last year, but, gee, I thought Darcy McPherson looked like he had just taken another real step as a player. So they showed some signs. We know it's only a practice game. We know that they came with intent, and not Geelong didn't necessarily come with intent, but it does look to be a reasonably even matchup and a good challenge for the Gold Coast.
Hawthorn and Melbourne, interesting as well, because Alistair Clarkson is the super coach, he's the best coach in the competition. But this is a test for him, this regeneration of Hawthorn. And at the same time, we're still not sure which Melbourne we're going to get in 2020.
Correct. Two of the harder sides for me to predict where they're actually going to be this year. And Hawthorn, just for the fact of we saw them beat most of the top sides towards the end of last year, obviously knocked off West Coast, which really hurt their chances. They beat GWS in the run home. They beat Geelong in the run home. So I think from that point of view, Hawthorn fans are pretty buoyed about what they might get this season. Obviously bringing Jono Patton in at one end and Frost in at the other end sort of just balances them up a little bit. To me, they're more about what does Wingard deliver? What does Scully deliver? The guys who they've brought in, and Cam Patton hold up? And he looked, I did the game at Moorabbin, he looked pretty good in his first hit out with the Hawks. So that's their side of it. Where do they actually sit? Obviously, Tom Mitchell coming back into the lineup. Melbourne, I just don't know where they're at. I've got the suspicion only myself that the real Melbourne was more last year than the preliminary final year, but they've got a point to prove to try to sort of say that that's not the case. Obviously, Big Maxi back in the lineup. Christian Petrarca was fantastic. We get another look, obviously, at Tomlinson and Langdon playing the wings. Stephen May finally in the lineup. So to have a look at that combination of Lever and May, I think Demon supporters will be pretty interested to sort of see how that goes. They were okay in their head out against Adelaide. I did the game down at Cranbourne. They just fought it out and were able to play out more the four quarters than what the Crows were. The Crows were pretty young and inexperienced in that game. So I don't think it gave us a real handle 2 weeks ago on Melbourne. I think this will give us a closer look at how they go.
Port Adelaide and the Bulldogs look like they have some improvement in them this year from last year. So this is a pretty intriguing contest for me after seeing the Bulldogs so up and about in their first game and doing a really good job against North Melbourne. If they do likewise against Port Adelaide, then I'm pretty excited about what the Bulldogs could deliver and whether they're in the premiership window. I think most people think they probably are anyway. But, Bontempelli is their leader. But Port Adelaide at the same time, I reckon Port Adelaide could improve a bit this year as well. Where are you seeing this one? This intrigues me.
It's a good game. It's a really good game. If I had been ranking them, it would have been one of my highest games because you're right, Bulldogs are almost everyone's it team. They're the ones that everyone thinks are going to be really on the march. They were very, very impressive in their first hit out. And Port Adelaide, likewise, Port Adelaide have already put out the announcement they've got to play finals. Yeah. So it does look like an intriguing matchup between them. Port Adelaide are pretty fit. Really, Ollie Wines is about the only bloke that they haven't got in their lineup. So they come in quite fit. We want to sort of see how those players who were the first-year players last year, whether they continue.
Rosie, Butters,
correct, Dersma. Georgiadis, I'll be interested in. His dad played with the Bulldogs, and here he is lining up against him. He looked quite a good young player, really attacked the ball hard. They've got Dan Houston now playing more as a ruck rover. That was a strange one to me. They said to Dougal Howard that there wasn't enough room in the back line because it was settled with Dan Houston had really taken his spot in the side, and then they've trained up. They let him go, and then they've trained up with Dan Houston as a ruck rover all summer. So that was a bit unusual, that one. Obviously, Keith and Bruce both in the lineup for the Bulldogs gives them that a little bit more balance. We get Tim English back into the ruck for the Doggies fans. It looks a pretty good side. They've got a couple missing still, so still no Norton. Libba 4 or 5 weeks away. Lin Jong and Taylor Giray are more sort of longer term, 6 weeks, about that sort of length of time. So Port have got more blokes available, but I'm liking what the Western Bulldogs are doing at the moment.
Yeah, the fact the game's in Whyalla changes things a bit. If this was at Marvel Stadium or at the Adelaide Oval, you'd probably get a better understanding, but we don't know if Whyalla's going to be a really hard deck. It might mean reduced minutes. So we'll keep an eye on this one, but it intrigues me. Take a few of your calls, 1-300-736-736, if you'd like to join Terry and I. We're both pretty excited about this footy feast over the next 4 days, 9 Mast Series games in 4 days, our last look at the teams before round one. And we'll take a few of your calls on it on the Werribeekia open line, 1-300-736-736. Speaking of prizes, Dean in Port Melbourne. You've picked up the four-day pass to the Rolex Formula One Grand Prix as well. So, Dean, one of our early callers in the first hour, give us a call back and we'll deliver that pass for you to the Rolex Formula One Grand Prix. A few things still to give away, including the AFL Record Season Guide 2020, the Footy Lover's Bible, available at newsagents and major bookstores. And thanks to Karsha, whatever the cleaning task, we have the solution. Your calls and more from Terry Wallace, and we'll go through the remaining games next. Terry Wallace with me, as you will be every Friday in this slot, talking about all the coming games. Before the game, we're looking forward to your company as part of that program as well, 1-300-736-736. But Terry Wallace going through all the games in this last weekend of the Masters series. Quick plug to This Is Your Sporting Life on Sunday from 10 o'clock. Saw Peter Donegan with the great Sandy Roberts at our function the other night, Terry. And it was great to see the great Sandy Roberts. What an icon he has been in the world of broadcasting. And it was nice to see Sandy and his wife. And good to see Pete there as well. He talks to Aussie cricket royalty Belinda Clark for an International Women's Day special. You'll be able to catch it on the podcast after Sunday morning as well, thanks to Tobin Brothers Funerals celebrating lives.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to work with Sandy last year for on most Sundays, which was really something. I mean, he's such an iconic person in the game, or in just TV in general and radio in general. But yeah, to have 12 months sort of working with him, he's a real pro.
And his voice is so smooth. It makes you feel comfortable listening to anything you broadcast. You feel like, okay, I'm settling in for this because it's warm. Yeah, he's a great deliverer.
Well, he makes me
of the product.
He makes me sort of go to shame with my voice.
using that as a comparison. Well, great to have Terry Wallace here, 1-300-736-736. If you'd like to join us, the other two games on Sunday, we mentioned the Collingwood St Kilda game, GWS and Richmond. Intriguing because Richmond don't need to win this game at all. They've got nothing to gain from a win. But the Giants were so good in their first Masters series game, they looked like they wanted to make a statement against the Swans. And if the Giants go into this game just wanting to make a sneaky little statement to the team that whipped them in the grand final, it would be an interesting scenario for Richmond to face, where they might actually have to respond if they get a few goals down.
That is interesting. I mean, I think both of them are going to be good sides regardless. So if I was ranking the game, I would have ranked it lowly, even though it's a grand final replay, because it doesn't really matter from that point of view. Whoever walks away as loser, I still think it's going to be potentially a top four side. So from that point of view, you're right. But, you do sense that GWS will sort of say, hang on, we embarrassed ourselves. So even if, no, it's only a practice game, we're still going to show that we were better than what we put up on grand final day. Look, it was just real shame, the Taranto injury. I just thought that was a real shame for the GWS, the best and fairest winner, a rising star of the game. They found some good kids. I thought Tom Green, who plays again this week, looked okay. Jai Caldwell, Jackson Haitley, I thought looked really good. Obviously, Sam Jacobs coming into this lineup, I think he gives them a different dynamic in the ruck. So I think he'll be a very, very good player for them. From Richmond's point of view, I mean, they've virtually got everyone available. They've made it really clear to us. Last week in their practice game, they played both Garthwaite and Bolter as backline players, tall defenders, and neither of them have been picked in the lineup this time around. So they are going with three only, with Broad, Grimes and Asprey. So they're not going to look for that extra tall to release, maybe a Vlosten or somebody like that.
Yeah.
They'll play more runners and less tall blokes down the back half. Ivan Soldo's doing a good effort, and Ankerva's still not in that lineup. He played a half in the VFL last week, so he's not far off. He's still potentially there for a round one selection call-up. So that'll be interesting to sort of see how they play their rucks, because Callum Coleman-Jones, I thought he actually looked quite good.
He's a big unit, Callum Coleman-Jones, and yet he's actually deceptively quick. But I like the fact that when he can't mark it, he skills them in the pack like 10 pins. He takes them all down. I like the way he crashes in, and he does look he's got some upside. Been on the list a couple of years now, so he's had that opportunity to develop.
So will they play Nankervis in round one? So Soldo will be there. I mean, he's the one who's done all the summer.
Right.
He's going to be there. we sense that they'll play two because that's the way that they've been going of recent times. Coleman Jones is still in the team.
Yeah, I'll be looking at maybe, you know, round 10 or so for Coleman Jones. I'm just sort of seeing him as still on that development curve.
Yeah, but if they don't, if Nankervis is not ready,
yeah,
do they only go the one? Do they go with Soldo or do they give the kid just an opportunity? I thought it would be interesting to see which way that plays out. I still sense that Nankervis will get himself up and it'll be Soldo and Nankervis again. But, yeah, got very much a full complement, the Tigers, to pick from.
Terry Wallace with me to the tune of Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. It's your last season, Terry. It's the farewell tour for Terry Wallace this year.
But very much looking forward to it, Dwayne. You've got 23-odd weeks or 25-odd weeks to roll through. And we always get something, don't we? I mean, when we start doing this and, you know, once we start doing our tips, we know it's a minefield in general tipping, as everyone out there knows who's in a tipping competition at their work or at the local pub. But, it always swings or brings something to the fore that you're not expecting the AFL season. And normally we sort of say there's about 2.5 to 3 changes to the top eight most years. There's normally one change at least to the top four. So all that to play out.
Absolutely. Geelong finished top last season at the end of the home and away season. We're about to talk about their game against the Bombers and Colac coming up as well. So look forward to chatting to you about that as we go through the rest of the games. Well, we'll take a few of your calls as well. 1-300-736-736, the open line, thanks to Werribee here. I'll also read out a few of your speckled texts shortly. Speckled cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. But rather, have a chat to you on the phone. 1-300-736-736 is the number. 1-300-736-736. The Derby Light we're up to. What do you make of this one? Because it's kind of going to be business as usual. If the West Coast win and Fremantle lose, we're kind of going to get what we've expected, and that is you've got a team that's in the flag window against a team that ain't.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think that's the way that it looks. You know, and even on paper, we were just sort of saying off air when we were having a bit of a chat, Freo's still got a few missing. I mean, Blake Akers was really good for them. He's just got a bit of hammy soreness, so it doesn't look like he's fronted up for this week. We know Hogan's out indefinitely. Mundy's out of their lineup. Alex Pearce, who's so important to him, has got an ankle and not playing as a key defender. Nathan Wilson, you know, who's probably as good a running back as what they've got, is out for 4 or 5 weeks. That's too many at this time of year. And, you know, they won't get any or many of those back for round one. So they're going to go in a little underdone. And when you look at them, it just seems so reliant on Nat Fyfe and Michael Walters to be able to do a job. Now, they're two stars of the game, but needs big, big improvement out of blokes like Adam Shearer, the young players. Darcy Tucker, who I thought took a reasonable step up last year. I thought their recruits were pretty good in the first Marsh Series challenge. I mentioned Akers, but I thought James Aish played pretty well. Rory Lobb was the interesting one. Rory Lobb had 13 marks in that first game, so hopefully that's the case for him. For West Coast, they've just got stronger. I mean, McGovern comes back in, Nat Nui comes back in. Really, they're only missing just about Jack Darling from their best lineup, and he's only like a cheekbone, so he will have been he will have been doing all the running, everything like that. So it looks like the West Coast, obviously with Tim Kelly now in that lineup, will be virtually full strength come round one, and they're going to be one of the top sides. I don't think there's much doubt about it. They'll be right up in top four calculations.
So that's tomorrow's two games. So two games today: Adelaide Crows and the Gold Coast Suns in the early game out of Noarlunga, which is South Adelaide's home ground in South Australia. Hawthorn and Melbourne playing in Launceston tonight, so down in Tassie tonight. Port Adelaide and the Dogs tomorrow in Whyalla, and the West Coast and Fremantle playing in Joondalup tomorrow. Three games on Sunday, and Jim in Elwood wants to talk about one of those games before we go through it. Welcome to you, Jim.
Welcome, Terry and Dwayne. How are you?
Good,
yeah,
thanks.
Good, Jim.
I just want to talk about the Magpies and the Saints. You know, I think, I like the look of Keane. Of course, he's a countryman of mine. I think he's going to be handy, you know, with Langdon. And we're very worried about, Tommy Langdon. And if we can get Keane to maybe come in as that extra backman, you know, he's raw. He's just like a potato, you know, out of a paddock. But, you know, he's got a bit of nastiness in him, which I like, you know. You know, might go in there, throw a few cut lunches at people. So, you know, St Kilda look good, but, you know, hopefully the Magpies can, you know, get some form in coming into the season. What do you think, gentlemen, about
Jim,
Mr Keane?
Yeah, well, I did that game. I went up to Wangaratta to do the game, and I thought Mark Keane looked really quite competent. I thought he handled himself pretty well. He's a nice size. He's that sort of in-between third tall size. So I suppose the answer is just, can they fit Roughhead more and Keane in, or will they only go for two and have Jeremy Howe as the third tall, the interceptor? That's their question. I mean, that's a match committee question that they'll have to come up to an answer. But I thought, from my eyes, that Collingwood added even more depth to their lineup, because I thought Keane played very well. I thought Darcy Cameron showed that he's ready and available.
He looked fantastic.
Yeah, if they want to play him, he's right and ready to go. I thought Josh Dacos took a step and looked really good. Not that he mightn't be quite ready yet, but Tyler Brown, I think, just shows signs that he's going to make it, you know, whether it's another 12 months or whatever. So, yeah, their depth was pretty good. They get all those other blokes back into the to the lineup. I was rapt to see Jamie Elliott being able to go up the ground and play a little bit higher. A lot to like for Collingwood. I think that they'll be up around the mark again. From a St Kilda point of view, they're one of the real interest sides, because you have a look at them and you sort of say, okay, well, we're all interested in seeing their five new recruits. How are they going to go? Brad Hill on a wing and Butler down forward. Obviously, Ryder as the dual ruck option, the runner of Zach Jones. There's a lot to sort of like, but then we're still looking at guys like Dan Hannabury, because we didn't get to see much of him last year. Then you've got Max King coming in. He was really excited Saints fans down there at Moorabbin the other week. So they are a must-watch team early in the season.
I reckon it's great that they've got Brett Ratten, because they've got a lot of moving parts to shuffle in to get the chemistry right. But I think Brett Ratten's the right guy. If you had a new coach in, I'd be a little more worried. Whereas I'm a little worried about Fremantle. Justin Longmuir's got a huge job on his hands, and he hasn't got quite as many stars at his disposal as Brett Ratten has. Yep. And I know that they've got Walters and Fife, but beyond that, they don't necessarily have the depth of stars. Whereas Brett Ratten's got a reasonable mix of really good players to play with. So if he can get it right early, they could actually have some impact early, the Saints.
Yeah, and you get some seniority back as well. I mean, obviously, Robinson comes back into that lineup. Mm. Jaron Geary, hopefully fitting well now, and everything is right with his body. So get a bit of seniority back in, along with Hannabury with those. The other thing, I've always thought that St Kilda lacked star factor in recent times. Yeah, after seeing them the other day, I think Hill can be that. I genuinely think he can be that. And I think Gresham can take the step. I mean, he's a really good player now, but I think he can actually take the step to be an extra dynamic player through the middle of the ground as well. So they've got some stars really looming at the moment, Saints. So, yeah, a really interesting side to watch.
And they've got this bloke called Max King, who we don't necessarily want to talk up too much, but he could be the next big thing. He could be what we hope Paddy McCartan might be, but injury has cut Paddy down. If Max King can be the key forward, he could be the Nick Riewoldt of the next 10 years for St Kilda, then we're going to look at St Kilda as a completely different team. They're going to all of a sudden be, when is St Kilda playing this week? I want to check out this kid.
Yeah.
That's the beauty that they've got with a dynamic guy like Max King, who might be able to deliver on what's been a pretty big promise that he's made as a junior. But it's pretty hard all of a sudden to replicate that in your second season as a senior. But that's what we're kind of expecting him to do at times, if not for whole games and whole seasons.
The one thing that I like about him is he can actually, for a big bloke, can play at ground level.
Yeah.
I mean, he can get after the ball. He's athletic enough to get after the ball at ground level. And he's athletic enough to foot after blokes. A couple of times he ran a couple of blokes down, which was good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. 1-300-736-736. Jim, you've dropped off the line, Jim, but give us a call back. We've got a 2020 season guide coming your way, available in all good bookshops and newsagents right now. Take a few more of your calls after a break for news. That number on the Werribee Kia open line, if you'd like to talk to Terry Wallace and I, 1-300-736-736. Still got a couple of the Sunday games to go through, and the two Monday games as well. Monday, long weekend, and we've got Geelong and Essendon playing down in Colac in North Melbourne, and the Sydney Swans playing down in Hobart. So 1-300-736-736, 1-300-736-736. Are you hard on the Bombers, normally, are you, Terry? There's been a few texts coming through. Are you?
I've been a bit concerned about their abilities to be as organised as others in the competition, but they showed a bit the other week.
And Rusty wants to know who's got the better list, Melbourne or St Kilda. This is on the speckled text, and you can get us on the speckled text, 0433 98 11 16.
Well, they've come through about the same time. I mean, until we see how this St Kilda lineup actually fits and works as a unit, it's really hard to sort of, I mean, they've changed it significantly. They're going to have a third of the side that have never actually played with the other blokes. So if you ask me, I think the deeper list is St Kilda's at the moment, the way that it's sort of now organised itself, but it's still very speculative.
Sydney Swans Membership Day as well. Today, 5-game access for just $88. That's today only. Visit membership.sydneyswans.com.au. And you can catch every game of this final weekend of the Marsh Community Series on 1116 SEN in Melbourne, or the SEN app, of course. SEN SA will be taking the Giants v Richmond clash and Carlton and Brisbane on Sunday. So you can get it anytime on the SEN app, and you can get it on 1116 SEN. And don't forget, you can download the podcast of Dwayne's World anytime you like as well. Download the podcast and listen in your own good time, whenever it moves you. Second round of the Marsh Series starts in a matter of hours. Adelaide Crows and the Gold Coast Suns, and then Hawthorn and Melbourne later tonight from Launceston. A couple of the games we haven't gone through yet, starting with Carlton and the Brisbane Lions, the late Sunday game. Terry, quite a few coming through on the speckle text as well on this game. Terry, do you think Carlton need to show a whole lot more against the Lions on Sunday night at Icon? And another one coming through, it was from Josh. Carlton were woeful, I thought, against Fremantle. Yeah, I expect them to be a lot better at Icon Park, but I was a little worried with their ball use and their skill level against Freo.
Yeah, I was too. I mean, I'd heard back from the grapevine that they had a really robust pre-season, and you know, so intra-club games, they were about as advanced as anyone physically wise, but skill wise they didn't show it the other day. So I mean, yeah, clearly they've got a bit of work to do. The only unfortunate thing with them is the two players that Carlton fans want to go and watch are both out of the lineup. I mean, obviously Charlie Curnow being one of them and Harry McKay being the other. So that's a big bite off for them, not having those two blokes available. I'll be really interested to see, obviously, Mitch McGovern with another season into him. I thought he was really average. I know he had the injury pre-season last year, which set him back, but I thought he was really average in for the early part of the year. And I just thought his last month, he actually started to really compete and contest. So hoping to sort of see a bit more of that. Obviously, Jack Nunes as a new player, Eddie Betts coming back into the lineup. Paddy Dow's another interesting one, I think, from a Carlton point of view, Dwayne, just that can he take that next step?
He looked, to me, early on last year, he seemed to turn the ball over a lot. He seemed a little nervous when he got the ball, but I didn't see that problem with him in the last month. I thought he actually evolved to the point that it made me think, oh, maybe we're expecting too much from young players too soon.
Yeah, well, and that's the case. I mean, a lot of times, particularly with a guy like him, they haven't got a lot of senior depth. And I think when they ended up throwing Ed Curnow and Mark Murphy back on ball, it gave a little bit more support. I think in the Bolton era, they just threw the kids almost to the wolves a little bit and just sort of said, yeah,
let's get 50 games into them and see how we go from there.
Correct. And so, you know, Paddy Dowles, you know, coming up and playing like the likes of Pendlebury or Sidebottom and, you know, guys like
in
that.
In 10-goal losses.
Correct. So that makes it pretty difficult. Obviously, Jack Martin's the other one, you know, who played reasonably. He was one of the players that went okay the other day. But, yeah, clearly they'd want to show a little bit more. I'm still of the opinion with Carlton that when you've got Walsh, Paddy Dow, guys like that still running through the middle of the ground, I still think it's going to take them another 18 months to get there, because they're still very, very young through that period. Brisbane Lions looks a really good, settled lineup. I'll be really interested to have another look at Birchall. Callum Archie will be an interesting one in that lineup. Cam Rayner, whether he can take that next step. I thought he was an inch away in the finals last year, Cam Rayner.
Yep.
He did some slashing things. If he had finished a couple of his actions with goals rather than points, I think we would actually be talking about him differently.
Well, I think he had a chance to win two games last year with the last kick.
Correct, correct. And as I said, in the finals, there were real genuine opportunities as well. So I you know, I think he can lift his game to another level as well. But I'm not one of those that's anti-Brisbane. A few people are sort of saying, oh, they'll probably come off a little bit. And I think it's a pretty balanced and good lineup that they've got now. Obviously, it'll be a tougher draw. Obviously, sides are more ready for them. But I went up to both their finals at the Gabba, and I walked away going, they're only an inch away in both of the matches. I know Richmond gave them a bit of a touch up in the second half, but they should have been a lot further in front in the first half. So Brisbane going along nicely. Carlton's still a bit to prove.
Two games on the Monday holiday. North Melbourne, Sydney Swans in Hobart. The Sydney Swans were terrible in their opener, and North had about six of their best eight or nine players out. So we kind of looked at their loss to the Western Bulldogs and thought, okay, well, let's just see them in Marsh 2, and here we're going to see them in Marsh 2.
Yeah, and it looks a much, much stronger lineup. I mean, when you go through, Benny Brown's still not there, but, you know, they get Tarrant back into the lineup. The teams have actually just come out only in the last hour. So, yeah, get Tarrant back into the lineup, get the boys back, Cunnington and Higgins, obviously, from the game on Friday night, and it just looks a completely more settled lineup. Majak, I think he'll be good, and particularly with Tarrant back there. I thought Walker gave them a bit. I thought he's shown enough signs so far to suggest that he's going to be able to hold down that spot. So he's bumped ahead of guys like Durden, you know, the younger guys. He's just come in and sort of said, well, hang on, you know, I'm a senior player. You've still got to prove that you're a senior player. So I think he'll hold down that spot. Polak back in the lineup as well. So with Ben Brown out, but they're just about back to full strength. Can't say the same still about the Swannies. When you have a look at their forward structure, nobody there, no Reed there. All of a sudden, you know, you look at it and they're either trying to play their rucks as forwards or they're trying to play Nick Blakey as a key forward. And it's a shame at the moment that that's what he's having to do, because he should be playing high half forward, even wing. But because they've had no one available, McCartan comes back in this week for them at least. So that's one key forward that they'll have back in the lineup. But until they can get some form of structure with either Buddy or Reed or both back into the lineup, I think its scoring is a little bit difficult for the Swannies. They were terrible. I mean, they were the worst side of all the sides to play in their first week. But, you know, we know that what happens sometimes with the pride of players, and particularly the pride of that football club, that they won't want that sort of showing again. And so it's a really interesting game, because neither of them went very well and both of them are obviously going to want to play a heck of a lot better. I think there were excuses for both in the first round, as you suggested, with North, but Sydney had the same problems as well. But both will be wanting to really improve.
We'll talk about the other game, Geelong and Essendon, straight after a little break. Sydney Swans Membership Day, 5-game access for just $88 today only. Visit membership.sydneyswans.com.au. Terry Wallace still in the house. Great to have your company. 1300 736 736. It's Dwayne's World. The last game of the Marsh Community Series is the Cats and the Bombers. It's in Colac Monday late. What do you make of this one, Terry? Because the Cats weren't that good in round one of the Marsh series, and the Bombers were.
I think you're being very polite to the Cats. No, they were awful. They were terrible and just didn't handle any form of pressure. Good on the Gold Coast Suns for doing what they did. My criticism on Essendon has been, in recent years, at the start of the year, that they haven't been as organised as other sides. That wasn't the case this time around. I thought that they were very, very well organised. They only had a makeshift forward line in, but they made it work for them. Their rotation of medium-sized guys, so McDonald, Tip and Woody getting his opportunity to go one out, rolling Laverde and players like that through the forward line structure. I thought they handled themselves reasonably well in that game. So I'm interested from their side of things to sort of see how that goes again. Bell Chambers still out, so Andrew Phillips gets his opportunity. So they've got Bell Chambers, Danaher, Heppel and Hooker. Heppel, remember, he had that screw taken out of his foot only about a week ago. So I think he'd probably be right for round one, but just give him another week. So, and then Hooker's still 5 to 8 weeks away from playing. So they're a mid-range side. They've got a lot of mediums that they're going with. So their whole ability is going to be their pace, their run, their ground level pressure skills have to be right on. But certainly I thought that they looked a lot more organised this time around than what I've seen them over the last couple of years. Geelong. We never know what they're going to do with their ruck, Dwayne. This time they're starting with Darcy Fort as their number one ruckman. So Stanley's in the lineup. Obviously, Josh Jenkins is in the lineup. Radagalia's in the lineup. So they're going with the four bigger blokes there. So that'll be interesting to sort of keep an eye on that and how it plays out. Once we get to round one, they're not going to play Jenkins, Fort, and Radagalia. I wouldn't have thought. I think one of those has to miss out sort of somewhere along the line. So that'll be interesting to watch. Well, Stanley's in that as well. So they can't play them all. You know, with the extra bench players, they can play them all. But certainly once it sort of settles down, they'll have to make a decision of who is going to be their number one ruck to start off. I like Jordan Clark. You know, he had the injury last year. I think he's a really good player. Jack Stephen, we get our first opportunity to have a look at Jack Stephen in Cats colours. We got told 2 weeks ago that when they were so poor, Chris Scott told us, you won't even be able to recognise us with round one. Well, it probably needs to take another step up this week and ramp up. I don't think you can just go from horrible, horrible, and then expect to just flick a switch in round one and get it right. So they need to show a bit. Essendon need to maintain a bit of momentum that they got, I thought, in Perth in their first game. So it is one of the more entertaining games to me because a lot of people are sort of saying Essendon, will they hold their spot in the top eight? Won't they hold their spot? Geelong, will it be their home games down in Geelong that get them there again? But can they really be contenders? So, yeah, a bit of interest in this one.
Darren and Sorrento, before we hand over to Bob and Andy, welcome to you, Darren.
Welcome. Hi, guys. I watched the Essendon against Melbourne in the practice match. I thought, gee, there's something different about this side. Then I watched them again at Perth and yeah, they've changed their gameplay. Exactly like you said, Terry, they're a bit more controlled out of the back line, go wide and then get up towards the wing and shoot back in towards the middle. But I just think everyone seems to be on the game plan. They understand what to do. It'll be interesting to see when more of the senior players come back in who are sort of more used to the older style, if they'll adhere to that game plan and stick with it.
I think they will. There's been enough change to the coaching staff there that clearly that they've retweaked it, and I thought it was noticeable, the retweak that they had done with their work. They were just too back half centric last year, and all their attack, you know, come from the back half of the ground. They weren't able to press up and keep the ball in their front half of the ground very much at all, and that had to improve from signs, and you know, it's only signs and it's only early signs, but I think it looks tighter than what I'd seen it over the last 18 months. And sometimes it's a point to prove. I mean, with all their injuries over summer, everyone was sort of semi-riding off Essendon. You know, they can't. How can they be any better? Danaher's not there.
Connor McKenna's gone home to mid-season.
Gone home.
He's back.
Sometimes that actually puts a bit of steel. We saw it with North a couple of seasons ago when everyone wrote North off and they sort of said, hang on, we're not going to put up with this. And I've got a bit of sense that behind closed doors, Essendon are a little bit that way as well.
Great to have you in, Terry. Look forward to doing this every Friday with you.
Good on you, Dwayne. And we're going to have a tipping competition, you and me, head-to-head over the course of the season.
I better take more than 30 seconds to actually look at them then and do them seriously, my tips this year. Terry Wallace, every Friday, you'll hear him between 2 and 3. Stick around, plenty still to come. Bob and Andy are going to join you. John Longmire is going to join them. And every game across the last weekend of the Masters series will come your way on SEN. You can download the SEN app and you can get this show as well as a podcast form on the SEN app if you want to download it and listen to it in your own good time. Bob and Andy next and John Longmire, their special guest.